I'm Austin Meek, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Michelle Brown. Michelle is the department lead for culinary arts at Texas State Technical College in Waco. We talk about the school's award-winning program, how restaurants might change during and post-pandemic, and the two types of cuisine Waco needs most. But first, it's the word on the street. I'm now joined in studio by David Laws. David is the regional director for the Waco office of the Better Business Bureau. David, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Austin, thanks for having me. It's a joy.
What is it that the Better Business Bureau does here in Central Texas, and what do you do specifically in your role?
So Better Business Bureau is a nonprofit organization, and everything that we do is built around this mission of creating trust in the marketplace, creating this ethical marketplace where buyers and sellers can trust each other. And so that's really everything that we do is kind of falls under that sphere in one way or another.
And having trust in your institutions is something that today is more important than ever. How does the Better Business Bureau build trust?
Absolutely. So there's a number of ways we do that. The one that's at the forefront of what we're doing right now is the Torch Awards. So a part of building trust in the marketplace is finding those marketplace role models that are running their business the right way. They're committed to those core values of trust and excellence and integrity in the marketplace. So every year we host these awards called Torch Awards, where we recognize the best businesses in Central Texas.
Can you give me some examples of former Torch Award winners?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a 105 county service area, and so they're spread out throughout that entire area, but they're in every category of size. So we've got categories of, you know, one person mom and pop shops that have just done things really well, and we've got those enormous companies that are doing things on a more macro level. And so there's a big spectrum. But the good news is that whatever business you have, if you're committed to those values, that there's a place for you to be recognized.
So the Better Business Bureau is not only for small business. It's really to try to bring transparency to all business dealings in Central Texas.
Right. I mean, obviously, a lot of what we do is with those small businesses, and we work really, really hard to support those small, you know, mom and pop type shops. But really, everything that we're doing is marketplace interactions, which means if you're a for-profit business, then we're involved with that in one way or another.
David, you and I spent some time together in the wonderful School of Texas A&M in College Station, Giggum Aggies. And after graduating, you spent some time overseas doing missions, but you're back here in Central Texas working with small business owners. What have been some of your early impressions of the business climate here in Central Texas?
Yeah, well, especially in the Waco, the greater Waco area, it's a healthy, thriving area when you look at the business community. You have a business community that's very unified. It's a very entrepreneur-friendly environment. You see a lot of young and upcoming business owners starting and launching just like, you know, you have with your business. And so I think that it's a healthy business climate. And obviously, in the current circumstances, that's putting a lot of challenges on businesses in various ways. But overall, I think when you look at the overall climate here, you see a really healthy business environment.
Are listeners of Downtown Depot able to vote on the outcome of these Torch Awards, or is there a way that listeners can keep track with the results after?
That's a great question. So we actually have a panel of judges. They're third-party judges that are leaders from the business community and academic community that are going to come together and review every single entry. And so once those results are made public, there will be press releases, and we'll announce these on our social media channels and have them on our BBB website. So the news will be out there once it's out there for sure.
David Laws is the regional director for the Better Business Bureau here in Waco. Be on the lookout for the Torch Awards coming soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone that's interested in applying, you can either go to bbb.org or you can go to us.bbb.org/syntex-torch to learn more.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Austin.
Michelle Brown is the department lead for culinary arts at TSTC Waco and is also a certified executive pastry chef. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Michelle, what's your Waco history?
I've been here for about 2 years. I came down from Dallas, and I've worked down here with the Epicurean World Master Chefs on several dinners at the local country club and some private homes, and I met Mark Schneider, who is the department director for culinary arts. Oh, golly, it has to be about 13 years ago when I was up in Dallas. And we just hit it off. And he's been the president of the Texas Chef Association, and he's been running this department. So he's been trying to get me to come down here for all that time. When I first met him, I was at Collin College in Frisco. Then I was at Brook Hollow Golf Club in Dallas. And when I started at, I guess it was 2010, 2011, I started getting involved in the Texas Chef Association. And that brought me to the Epicurean World Master Chefs Association, which brought me into competition around the world. Well, I finally decided to get back into education about 2 years ago and met up with Mark. We were at Sassy's having lunch, and I said, do you have any openings? And he was like, be here tomorrow.
Wow. So you had just built up a reputation and a rapport with Mark.
Correct.
And he knew that you were the type of person that he wanted to have in the TSDC program.
And I knew that TSDC was the type of program I wanted to be part of.
What was TSDC lacking at the time that you've been able to provide?
Well, I'm very strong in pastry. I've been developing the two pastry classes that we teach there. And in the future, I would love to see an associate degree or at least a path to a pastry certification at TSTC. And that would just include several more classes and a little bit of development. But I think right now COVID has kind of sidelined any of that growth. But what we've been doing is really distilling the courses, streamlining everything from Hutto to Harlingen to Waco, so that all of the classes that are taught at TSDC are going to be very similar through all the campuses. So that's one of the things that we've been working on. We've been working towards being American Culinary Federation accredited, which is a big to-do. It's about a year's worth of work. So those are the things I've been bringing.
So these are different designations that would make the TSTC program more or less interesting to someone considering Escoffier or any of the culinary schools that you see ads for on TV, right?
Correct. So at TSTC, our degree is about $15,000. And Escoffier is quite a bit more than that. And we have face-to-face courses. So you are on campus in a lab with an instructor. Online is great. I love it. But you don't get that back and forth, that aha moment, my 35 years of experience right in front of you. One of the greatest things is doing a demonstration in front of a group of students and them going, God, you made that look so easy. And I'm like, if I didn't make it look easy, we have a problem.
Well, that's the true sign of an expert, someone who can take a very complex concept and distill it into a digestible form for anybody.
Correct. Correct. And I'm a member of the Epicurean World Master Chefs, and Chef Schneider just became a member about a year ago. So there's about 38 of us, I think, in the country, and you've got two in Waco.
Wow.
So those are some pretty good credentials. I think that the networking that you're going to get with us is going to allow a student to work in Dallas, in Houston, in a smaller town with an excellent chef at maybe a country club or a fine dining restaurant that they wouldn't necessarily think of because our reach is that wide.
Let's dial it back a little bit. What was the first pastry that you made that you recognized, I have a facility for this that maybe no one else does?
Chocolate chip cookies for my dad.
And how old were you when you started making chocolate chip
cookies?
Oh,
I was a kid. Grade school, grammar school. And my folks actually got me a Hamilton Beach little mixer so that I could do that. And then when I went to middle school, my sister and I took a cake decorating class at Deerfield's Bakery in Deerfield, Illinois. And a couple of years later, got into high school and started working at the bakery. I was like a cake gopher. Just get things for the decorators. And then when it came time to go to school, I had considered going into theater, but I saw my friends that were actors and I wanted to eat. So I found a program at Johnson & Wales University in Providence, and it was the only school at the time with pastry as a degree program. So I actually have a degree in pastry arts, which is kind of fancy. And then I stayed on to be a teaching assistant and a fellowship and got my bachelor's in food service.
So pastry arts is not simply making croissants. It's making a ballerina out of croissants that you then eat. Like, is it sculptural?
The thing about food is that it's an art, it's a craft, and it's a science, especially baking. I like to think of baking as the neurosurgery of the kitchen, because everything that we do, excuse me, we do like a pharmacist, a chemist. All of our recipes are called formulas because they're so exacting. Everything's in grams. And if you vary and you don't know what you're doing, you could have a total disaster.
That's something that I've really appreciated with the explosion of the internet, and particularly now with COVID, people cooking at home more. But there's two sources that I use often. One is called Serious Eats. Mm-hmm. Another is called Chef Steps. And I sous vide almost all the meat that I cook because I'm not a good enough cook to know when this is going to be done. Is this meat perfect? No, but I'm going to put it in my sous vide. It does seem like there's an appetite more now than ever for people to really understand the science behind what they're eating and how they're cooking.
Correct. And it's important, too, because if you make a mistake, if you can backtrack and think of how can I fix it, which I often call myself like the dough whisperer, because, you know, people will be having, even in industry, there's a problem with something and I'll look at it and I'll taste it and I'll decide if it can be saved, and if it cannot be saved, can it be used for something else? For instance, maybe a cake overextends in the oven. It just blows up and then it collapses back down. Probably had too much sugar in it, too much leavening in it. Well, I might be able to dry it out and put it through a food processor and use it as a decoration or make some kind of a white chocolate crumble with it, you know, just to kind of refabricate so you're not losing product because you don't want to waste.
Yeah, so there are some creative ways that you can use food waste for.
Correct.
That's a conversation that I know a ton of restaurants are having right now that are operating during COVID because you really don't know who's going to show up and you still need to cook that whole brisket. Is that something that you think restaurateurs are more aware of now, is finding ways to utilize their waste efficiently that maybe 20 years ago restaurants were pretty happy to just throw things out and let the birds eat it?
Sure. We want to think about loss of scraps. So what can you use the parts of the onion and celery and carrots that you're not going to use somewhere else? What can you use with that for so that you can make a stock with? Is there something that I couldn't use but I can compost? I can put it in my garden and now I can we can be known for growing our own herbs and vegetables. When it comes to losing that brisket, you want to be able to sell what you can sell, put away what you can with a vacuum seal machine and a freezer that's clutch right now, and then you can turn it into something else later on. You can turn it into hash. You can turn it into breakfast tacos. You know, you can utilize it in a different way. So you really don't want to be just like, okay, give it to the staff or throw it away. Another thing is food insecurity is huge right now because there's so many families who've been thrown out of business that need food. So with whatever you have left over at the end of the day, well, go ahead and donate it. On campus, because we've lost about 98% of our revenue that we make through the culinary department, when we have leftovers, we donate it to the Student Resource Center, and they will then dole out the food to the students on campus and the veterans who are on campus so that they can, you know, not have to spend money on food that they can't afford.
One of the greatest things about TSTC is this restaurant that you have on campus mm-hmm. that utilizes the students who are in the culinary arts program. And if you want to eat well and inexpensively, that's the best place in probably all Central Texas and maybe Texas itself to come get a meal. Can you explain to our listeners about the thought process of starting that restaurant and what it looks like practically for you and your students?
What that class is the front of the house is the second semester students. So they're getting the soft skills of working in the front of the house, waiting on tables. The back of the house is our fifth semester students. This is their culmination. This is their last class. This is their time to own a restaurant, I say in air quotes, because they have taken everything that they've learned from day one to that day and put it into a binder. And they've developed and researched the style of food that they want to prepare. The chefs make sure that it's correct. We make sure that the students are using correct knife cuts and cooking techniques in that restaurant so that our guests can have the best possible experience. It's really a joy to see when we have people coming in over and over again. We have a lot of regulars. New folks coming in going, this is the best kept secret in Texas. And I just want to say, I don't want to be the best kept secret in Texas. I want to be the best restaurant in Texas. We serve lunches. It's a point of pride for the students. And it really allows them to see everything from facilities planning up to putting the food on the table and going out there and talking to the client. It really gives them a great perspective on what running a restaurant is. Many of our students are not going to run a restaurant right away. They're going to go in as a sous chef or a prep cook or a manager. But there is that understanding and respect for what it is that they want to do.
This first week in August 2020, is the restaurant open currently?
The restaurant is open to a degree. Because of COVID, the campus is on lockdown, so we can't have guests come in to pick up. And we've also devised a contact-free pickup, but because of the restrictions that are keeping our staff and faculty and students healthy and safe, right now we are not serving the public. However, we are serving anyone who's on campus, and I do have one student that's in that class right now, and he's really doing gangbusters. I am so pleased to see how this student who I've had the good fortune to see start as a freshman, and now he's, you know, on his fifth semester, and the breadth that he's grown and the responsibility and the technique and just the ease, the way he cooks now is just phenomenal to see. I miss seeing it with 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 students, but right now we have one student running it and he's doing great.
I cannot wait to visit that restaurant myself once it is back and up and running for the public. You're hearing from Michelle Brown, an award-winning executive pastry chef and the department lead of culinary arts at TSTC Waco. Using that student as an example, Michelle, maybe when he started 4 or 5 years ago, the dream was to have my own 5,000 square foot restaurant in downtown Waco. COVID has really changed a lot of how we think people are going to interact with restaurants, at least for the foreseeable future. What are your personal thoughts on how dining changes in this pandemic and the post-pandemic world?
I think we're going to see a huge amount of change, a lot of turnover. There are some businesses that are going to go out of business because of COVID. Some will go out because of mismanagement, and some will thrive. And I think the businesses that are going to thrive are the ones that pivot, if you will, to that contact-free delivery service, that understand food waste, that get into community service. I've seen a lot of restaurants not only serving their clientele, but they're also giving food to families, food to folks that need it. And I think that's really strong. There are a lot of grants out there that people can get. I'm not sure exactly what they are. I don't have any names off the top of my head. But there are grants out there for businesses to supply their community with food, which is tremendous. As far as students coming out of it right now, out of school with their degree, we've taught them over the past 5 months how to deal with COVID, between safe practices, between pivoting to serve a different clientele. So that's going to be very helpful for the business community. We also have an advisory board that we've just gotten together with, and we're listening and kind of working with that community that's going to hire our students. I look at this as it's a painful and difficult time, but I think we're going to come out of it okay. We came out of it okay a century ago with the Spanish flu. There are going to be a lot of changes for sure. But I don't see restaurants going away. I don't see mom and pop restaurants or white tablecloth restaurants going away. I just see them adapting.
I think that a lot of issues that we have, from my perspective at least, they can be solved by real estate and by zoning in some sense. So, for instance, if affordable housing is an issue in your city, and I mentioned this on last episode of Downtown Depot with real estate developer Bill Wetterman, what you can do is you can make the lot sizes smaller so the developer can build five $100,000 homes rather than one $500,000 home. And you give five people an opportunity to own a home. They couldn't afford a $500,000 one, but they can't afford $100,000. And it's sort of similar with restaurants in that I hope that real estate developers will come to realize you don't need the 5,000 square foot big restaurant. If we can have 10 500 square foot micro spaces and have 10 smaller areas.
We're doing it right now in Waco.
Yeah, like I think that and like the model of the food hall at Union Hall there, I think that just makes so much sense for people these days who want to go have a variety of options. And also for the operator, you don't want to have the overhead of a huge place. Yeah. All you want to do is be able to cook and give people food.
Correct, which is phenomenal. I absolutely adore that idea. And we frequent Union Hall. And when I was up in Frisco, we went to Legacy Hall, which was just what a great thing. I know many businesses up there, and they're really thriving. And it wasn't their only business. They had a brick and mortar somewhere else. So this was just an extension. So a lot of what you see in Union Hall, they were a lot of food trucks. So now they don't have to worry about where they're going to park, how they're going to clean, what are they going to do. Now they have a permanent residence, which is great. It's almost like an art residence, you know? So, yes, I see your point with that, absolutely, that having giant restaurants and many, many chains, many outlets, it's going to change a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
The mobile vending for food is such an advantage for restaurants over many other industries that just can't be mobile like that because, once again, it allows a small business owner to take a bet on themselves. You can make a $10,000 bet and still survive. It's really hard for people to make a $100,000 swing and then you miss. And then you're digging out of that hole for the next decade.
Another thing to do is if that's what you want to do, if you want to own a food truck, if you want to own a pizzeria, if you want to work on a cruise ship, go work there. You know, go and find somebody who's doing the top, somebody who's at the top of their game and get in their kitchen and see what it's all about, because you may realize that's not what I wanted to do. It's too hot and sweaty, or, you know, it's not the type of food that I want to do. So it's vitally important that culinarians get out there and work with the best that they can find before they spend the money and make the investment.
Earlier, I had alluded to some awards that you had brought in. Is this through the Epicurean World Master Chefs Association?
I have gotten medals for wedding cakes when I was on Long Island and in New York, gold medals from American Culinary Federation. I traveled with the Epicurean World Master Chef USA team to Germany twice and Luxembourg once. And then this past February, I traveled with my sons to Germany for the Culinary Olympics with the Manitoba Culinary Arts team. And it was a group out of Manitoba, Canada, and we had never worked together before. We had a couple of phone calls. We ran pictures back and forth, but we didn't meet until we were in Germany. And we came away with a silver, which was really impressive. It was a great group to work with. And the Epicurean World Master Chefs, just they changed my life. They really did. And they now have an education endowment that I'm hoping to be able to facilitate at the college as well. I'm also a member of Les Dames d'Escoffier, and we're more of a philanthropic group. We support women in food. So I'm part of a lot of different groups. And the American Culinary Federation, I'm on the Certification Commission, which those letters at my name there, I help to redevelop the tests that go on to credentialing, and I'm now an evaluator. So I will be going from state to state and evaluating people that are taking their certification tests. So it's really exciting. This is not a one-dimensional business by far. Between the education and the competition work that I get to do and the community service, it's very fulfilling. And the other day I was saying, you know, I really need a hobby. Maybe I can knit. And a phone call came in, and it was a gentleman out of Dallas, and he's looking to start a bread bakery to service the food banks and the needy in Dallas, and he wants to branch out eventually and go into all the other major cities in Texas. And he's asking me to kind of help and guide him, and I was like, well, there's my hobby.
Wow. What a great way to use your skills and benefit an entire community. Last question for you here, Michelle. It's amazing that we have as much culinary talent as we do here in Waco, and specifically at TSTC. What would be your parting message for listeners of Downtown Depot? What do you want them to know about you? What do you want them to know about the program at TSTC?
TSTC has a fantastic reputation for training the essential workers of Texas. We offer a world-class culinary education right here in Waco at a fraction of the cost than you would pay at a named school. And all of our classes articulate to state universities. So if somebody wanted to get their bachelor's or master's after getting their associate's in culinary, why not? Absolutely. And there's so much food in Waco that goes untapped. So get off the beaten path. Get
Make
on the side
path.
Streets and find that neighborhood food.
What is the one cuisine that you really think is lacking in Waco that we need more of?
Ethiopian, German. Those are two things that I've been like, oh, wow, I really would like to have something like that. Yeah, because some more of the Asian foods are coming up, which is fantastic. But, you know, I have a hard time finding a schnitzel.
Yeah, I'd love a little indujia and just get all those yummy vegetables on my plate and put it in my mouth.
It's, oh my gosh, yeah.
Such a wonderful way to eat. And I do hope that people in Waco can experience the joys of Ethiopian cuisine. The Department Lead of Culinary Arts at Texas State Technical College in Waco is Michelle Brown. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot and sharing your story.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great.
Thanks again to Michelle Brown of the Culinary Arts Program at TSTC, David Laws with the Better Business Bureau in Waco, and you for tuning in. As always, find me on Instagram and Facebook at Waco Business News for updates in between episodes, and you can find us here back on KWBU on the third Friday of August for another episode. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.